Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School Crew, 5 o'clock hour on Christmas. Was it Christmas Adam?
Christmas Adam.
We're coming at you live, 1040 O Street. Brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat, 168th and Maple up there in the O. It is college football playoff time. Obviously, a lot was said, tweeted, and continue to be talked about. If you saw the controversy with First Take on ESPN or Kirk Herbstreit and Fowler throwing shots over the bow at Stephen A. Smith and First Take about their assessment of Ryan Day and what his job status should be if he doesn't happen to continue to push forward and win a national championship. You had Indiana getting it. I wouldn't say exposed. They just got beat. SMU, I think, probably looked the worst, and it was mainly because of Jennings, the quarterback. But I will tell you this. I felt like Jennings is probably, of all the teams in there, probably the worst quarterback as far as being able to have his game be efficient enough to play in a big-time game on the road like that. I just think it's so new to him. There's a lot left to be told as far as where he can go as far as a player. And I think that was just on display on those two interceptions for touchdowns against Penn State.
And even before the two pick sixes, I would say the drop on fourth and three when they go for it, right? They're trying to send a message on the road, we belong, and then the drop.
Yeah.
Penn State still probably wins. But it's interesting for at least another quarter.
Oh, yeah. I think when that happens, that takes all the wind out of the sails for not only Jennings, the quarterback, but as the team. And it's different if Penn State broke up the pass, Penn State tackle for a loss, stone cold drop.
Yeah.
So then it starts to weigh in your mind. Are we cold? Penn State thinks they're cold. Well, you're on the road. You shot your shot way too early because kind of you think, on the road, you want to be steady. You know, I always talk about, let's get first downs, conservative, play defense, play field position. They came in, say, we're going to come in swinging. Probably felt they had an uphill battle. It just didn't work out well. He didn't play well. The whole team didn't play well. Defensively, I felt like they did better than I thought they would.
Sure.
I think they really only gave up, 7 points, maybe 10. But when you're down and if you give up one touchdown on offense, you generally don't win. If you've been able to, the game's over. And we saw a lot of those games, and we'll bounce around here. You know, that Ohio State-Tennessee game was, I think that's the Ohio State offense and the team that people were expecting, Ohio State to be like with a, close to $20 million roster. But ultimately, they just overwhelmed Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee just looked dead in the water. They looked like they were, running in quicksand. I mean, it just didn't look good. I mean, it didn't look effective. They didn't. The thing that made me mad about Tennessee was
Jamal Lewis going there instead of here.
No, because one of the coaches wanted him to play linebacker. I was like, yeah, dude, it looks like a first round NFL running back, but because he was 25 out of high school.
Anyway, sorry to distract you.
But I think with Tennessee, I felt like of any team, if you took Ole Miss, Tennessee, Bama, of course Texas A&M, I felt like they played their way into it. They deserved it.
Okay.
I mean, Bama, you got three losses. Ole Miss, you lost Florida or whatever.
Kentucky,
excuse me. You know, you like where Tennessee, Tennessee wasn't dominant, but they didn't throw up on themselves.
Right.
And going up against a team in Ohio State that had huge injuries across their offensive line, and you felt like the continuity wasn't there because they got exposed against Michigan. What's the strength of Tennessee, supposedly? Their defensive line.
Yeah.
What's the strength of Tennessee offensively? Their running back and offensive line, which set up Nico, the quarterback, to be, you know, thought of to be, you know, on the next, you know, group of quarterbacks that's going to be drafted in the first two rounds, star-studded X, Y, and Z. And then they just go up there and they look like, first of all, they look like they was cold.
They did.
Yeah.
All that performative stuff, shirts off to warm up, no.
Well, here's the deal is like when you're used to playing in the cold, you just look. If I looked down the field and saw a bunch of guys running without their shirts, oh, that's cool. First of all, that's stupid. Number one, I want to warm up into what I'm going to play in.
Mm-hmm.
And so just in case I have to make any changes. First of all, when I'm playing, I ain't worried about how cold it is. It could be below. Everybody's cold out there.
Yeah.
I think some people think because you play in Nebraska or you play somewhere else that, you know, yes, people that come up from the South, they're going to be a little bit colder, but that's because they're not used to the elements. But when you're out there playing, when you go out there, it's not like I don't realize it's cold. But here's where I knew that Tennessee was cold when they were doing that. So they came out there with no shirts on, doing their bands and everything like that. And then when you saw all those players, or majority of them, when they showed up to play the game, they all had long sleeve shirts on and like the mask over their head. Well, then you just wasted your time. You just wasted your time warming up, and that's what your focus was. So when they went into the locker room, they were checking to see amongst themselves who had their shirt on and who didn't, versus talking about, okay, I'm wearing these cleats. This is, remember what we talked about in this. I like the vibe of the stadium. I mean, the more things that are prevalent to the game. Mm-hmm. They were all with the glitz and glamour. And that's the difference when you get into games like this. The reason why, like on the flip side, when you think of teams that got somewhat embarrassed last weekend, Indiana. I truly feel like Notre Dame, being in that arena before, both with the Marcus Freeman as a defensive coordinator with Brian Kelly, and then obviously the, you know, as a head coach being in bigger games, and then also administration and just the makings of it. They had more experience. And here's a perfect example is Kirk Cignetti from the very first time that he took the job at Indiana has been quote worthy. But 3 hours before the game, 3 hours before the game. So it tells me, and I think about it a little bit deeper. So if you're there 3 hours before the game on set, that means you had to leave potentially early from your team hotel, which then therefore you left your team early. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they didn't. Right? Maybe they all came over there earlier together. But you left the locker room to go live on ESPN on national TV. And then what you said was you set yourself up to look like an idiot. And he's not. He's a really good coach. Mm-hmm. It's more than a commendable job than what he's done. Mm-hmm. I think he's for real. I think Indiana is for real. Will they be to the same tune every year? No, nobody really will. I think they will be a player because I know he can recruit. He's recruited some Julio Jones and Amari Cooper, all those guys at Bama, he's done that. He's won everywhere he's been, but it also shows the lack of experience being in it. Playing for a national championship or being in that type of environment at James Madison is totally different than you going on the road to South Bend against, you know, Notre Dame. It's totally different.
When we look at those four first-round games, Jay, I mean, I think three of the four programs that lost looked like they were new to the stage, to your point, right? Indiana with Cignetti.
Yeah.
You can look at SMU. I mean, played the same way they've played all year, but you can't necessarily get away with that against a more talented team. You got to button it up and find a way. And then Tennessee, right? That's immaturity in a program.
Yeah.
Good, had a good year, but you can just tell it's a program that hasn't been back to that stage since, you know, after you were gone.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been a while.
Yeah, Phil Fulmer, pretty much.
Right, 98.
Yeah.
Is the last time they were there at that stage. So you can just tell that even if the players aren't immature, the coaches aren't immature, it's just programs that haven't been there, they don't have that in their DNA and have their identity. The one that did look like it belonged was Clemson, who was just outmatched, right? That's championship DNA. It's a coach that's been there before that knows how to handle the moment. But none of that is to say that those four losing teams didn't deserve to be there based on what they did in the regular season, right? Yeah, Indiana scores a couple touchdowns late. They only lose by 10. That wasn't a 10-point game.
What is that called? You know, backdoor cover?
Backdoor cover. That's what it was.
It wasn't even a cover.
It wasn't even a cover, but yeah. they made it interesting. But Indiana's regular season earned them the right to be there. And now the challenge for them, the challenge for SMU, going, what, undefeated in the ACC until the championship game to Clemson, and then the challenge for Tennessee is, this is what it takes to get here. Now how do we take that next step, right? Yeah. Nico's got to be better. He was not good in their games against ranked teams, but Tennessee found a way to win a couple of them. Kevin Jennings, you can play risk-reward ball, but then you better be hosting.
Yeah.
You better be playing in a climate and against a team that you're more evenly matched with, because if you make those mistakes, better teams are going to make you pay. And then Indiana, they have to be true to themselves. That was just Cignetti being Cignetti. But it kind of felt like it was a step too far. Like you said, three hours before the game, like be you, do you. You got to do what got you there. But also have some reverence, have some respect for the moment, right?
Yeah.
Understand that this is the biggest game of your life, biggest game of all your players' lives. You can be true to yourself, stay comfortable in who you are and be confident without doing extra theatrics that maybe he's trying to take the attention off his team.
Yeah, or you're trying...
But it turns out to be a bad look because of how the game went.
Yeah, I think maybe sometimes you're trying to speak that confidence into your team and you're trying to maybe almost lie to yourself. But I also think that he's new to this and you got to give him a little bit of leeway, but ultimately he came back as an egg on his face. I think the one thing, you know, about Clemson, and you're 100% right, you know, Dabo had a pretty interesting quote after the game. He's like, listen, we got outmatched. We got to get better everywhere. We're good enough to win our league. We're good enough to win the ACC championship. We're good enough to get into college football playoffs. We're not championship worthy yet.
Yeah.
I mean, to have that type of self-reflection that quick after a game, and especially I could argue if they would have got that fourth down play and got that touchdown, and got it within seven, they don't give up that long run to go down 14.
Right.
Because that took the win. Now they are razor thin, but if they got it, it's a different game. So even a team that probably played better than people predicted thinks they're far off when they're actually probably not, versus a team like Indiana, they probably think they're a lot closer than they aren't than far. And then same thing with SMU. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how these teams, you know, verify what they did before. Yep. Now they're going to be facing.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some of the same things that we talked about with the Houston Texans, the expectations versus reality. Mm-hmm. And the one thing for Huskers fans listening out here, and I always remember back when we played Ohio State and game day came here. Ohio State just showed up, and I remember seeing was Urban Meyer the coach then?
Yeah.
Yeah, Urban Meyer was coaching. I was down there, and he was stone cold cussing out this punter. I was like, dang.
The punter.
Punter during pregame warmups because he wanted the punter to punt a certain way based on the wind condition. When I tell you he was giving him the business, my man was wound up tight, but there was no different. He didn't care that they were the huge favorite. He didn't care that, you know, it was game day. Mm-hmm. We've been here, done that. I want things done the right way. Now, I think on the flip side, I think with game day being here and you could go down campus starting on Thursday, Friday, you camp out. I think it was a night game.
Yep.
I think Indiana faced a little bit what we did at that point in time. Happy to be here. We arrived because game day was here. Indiana felt like they maybe arrived because they were going to play Notre Dame, and they got beaten. I think Notre Dame played really, 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 really excellent. I think Indiana down the stretch, I wouldn't say they were playing bad. I think they were playing the same that they played all year. I think the teams that they played were better and teams were more prepared for them. Whereas I think Notre Dame, if Indiana played the same Notre Dame team that faced Texas A&M, Indiana wins. I think Notre Dame got two or three steps better, especially down the stretch.
Yeah.
and then added some spice to it too. For the way that they played USC and beat them down, that lets you know they had a little bit of edge. And maybe that's from Marcus Freeman, and maybe that's from the leaders that they have on the team. It's a different Notre Dame team that you saw earlier in the year down there at Texas A&M, and that's where I think the difference was. And then, you know, when you look at the Tennessee game, it's interesting because I could, you know, you hear people argue, yeah, Alabama lost, you know, three games, but they beat three ranked teams, you know, and they, you, they would say an Oklahoma team that played a lot of close games is better than Indiana versus their record and strength of schedule. Ultimately, you got to win some games. Yeah. Ultimately, Ole Miss, you can't lose game to Kentucky. You cannot lose that game.
No.
Just like Bama cannot lose to Vanderbilt. I don't care.
Or Oklahoma.
Right, but I can't. Vanderbilt's worse. Because you're going to see, there's going to be two or three generations of families that ain't never going to see that again.
True.
So it's worse.
Yes, valid.
And I would, and in Oklahoma, you understand, because they're a blue blood. They could just, they can rise up to the occasion every once in a while. So I think when you just cannot have those type of losses during the season and then complain about it. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, there were some teams that were potentially exposed. Here's what I'm going to ask you, Austin. Do you think teams were exposed, or do you think the seeding was exposed? See, I still think those teams have a – like kind of obviously won their way in there. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to seen those. I would have liked to seen Arizona State, Indiana. I would have liked to seen Boise, you know, against SMU. I would have liked to seen those because I really don't think Boise deserved a bye week. I don't care.
Okay. Yeah. Valid.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and so I would have liked to, I would have liked to seen better matchups. And I think you would have saw more competitive games. Even if you kind of, you know, obviously put Ohio State in different ones, I think you would have been seen more competitive games, which then would allowed one of those the one or two teams that got through that first weekend be more competitive in the second weekend. It would have been a better overall product than seeing, hey, we're excited Friday and Saturday night and all three of them are blowouts.
Yeah, I mean, I think it worked out the way the seeding told you it would work out, right?
Yeah.
5, 6, 7, 8 all win.
Yep.
And they all look better than their opponents. I do think that it is a little funny that according to the odds, Penn State has a better path to the national championship game than Oregon does.
Oregon, that's what
I think there's a lot going on with the setup of the bracket and the way that the seeding works in that case. So I think the teams themselves weren't exposed. They were supposed to lose. Maybe it wasn't supposed to be that close. I mean, Tennessee should have played it closer in the 8-9. You think about March Madness, right? Those are supposed to be some of your tightest games. And I thought Tennessee had a chance to make it a game. Down 21-10. Momentum, ball after halftime. They didn't capitalize on that first possession. Ohio State's back off to the races. So, I mean, I don't think they were exposed in that
they didn't deserve
to be there. What I think it was, Jay, was just more a reflection on the state of college football in that this is why I didn't think we needed a playoff to begin with. There aren't going to be 12 championship-worthy teams every year. Sure, in the NFL, you can get a wild card team that goes on a run. You can get a team in Major League Baseball or the NBA that plays its way up from down low. College football, for as many upsets as we see, it's still not a parity-driven sport to that degree in the postseason. Never has been, it never will be. It's one-off games. It's new territory for Division I FBS football to have a playoff. And sure, maybe these teams will rise up. And I'm not trying to say we just need Big Ten and SEC teams in the playoff. That's the furthest thing from my mind. Like, Arizona State deserves to be in the playoff
because
they won a conference. Boise State is the Group of Five champion. Sure, put them in. Clemson won the conference championship game. Throw them in. SMU the year they had. Sure, throw them in. But I think what we're finding is that college football needs a way to kind of do what college basketball has done for most of the last 10 years, and that's have 5, 6, 7 championship caliber teams, right?
Yeah.
We've just gotten so used to Michigan being almost hands down the best team, or Georgia being hands down the best team, or Alabama and who's the upstart that's going to challenge them. We don't have 12 championship caliber teams.
Yeah.
We won't have 14 championship caliber teams in the NFL, but that's the way that system's always been. It's been set up for those wild card teams to make a run like it hasn't in college. So if we're going to keep the 12 team playoff, we have to fix the seeding. But I would rather get rid of the 12 teams before I fix the seeding, because I think 12 is too many.
Yeah, I think you can get 12, because I think as this thing goes on, parity will start to even be more rampant.
Okay.
In particular, because the quarterback play is going to be so bad. So that means when you got back, it brings everything in there. And I think you can get a special quarterback that can lead teams into, prosperity. And you got to also pump the brakes and not just be so in the moment driven. You got to think, if Miami's defense could just do anything sustainable, Miami's in.
Yeah.
If Ole Miss and or Bama, heck, throw LSU in there and Texas A&M, you get better teams in there. So is it every year you're going to see those teams all dookie down their leg? Most likely not. So I think the 12 is going to be there. I still think it would be extremely top heavy, but I also think with the time off in between your last even championship game and in this game, the transfer portal, which will, I'm assuming, slow down a little bit, NIL, it still can lead to some upsets. And that's what I think they want. And I think, obviously, it's going to be, you know, good TV. I think it's never going to be perfect. I just think this year it's almost like a learning lesson. But I think if I'm Oregon, I'm the only undefeated team out here. And I play essentially just the best-looking team the next week, and we're not even favored.
No. And here's the part of that.
And then Penn State, who we beat the brakes off of, has an easier path than we do.
Yeah. They're favored by 10.5, I think was the opening line, over Boise. I want to address this from Colgan Jay on the text line. I completely disagree with Austin. I think the playoff games, especially the home playoff games, had amazing atmosphere, and it will figure itself out. I think it's great for college football, and the playoff is a welcome and beautiful change. I wasn't mad at four. I think you can find four teams that you can credibly say can win the national championship every given year. I also think the longer the playoffs are, the more likely you are to have a quote-unquote truer champion. Right? Think about March Madness, where you have to win six games. It's hard to do. That's why you can have Cinderella runs to the Elite Eight or to the Final Four, whatever. But to sustain that over six games over 3 weeks is incredibly difficult to do. So that's where I think I would rather see a system where Washington, clearly one of the four best teams in the country last year, you know, the quote-unquote underdog against Texas and then against Michigan. I'd rather see a system where all a really darn good, deserving Washington team has to do is win two games instead of give more cracks to an Ohio State that maybe let itself down against Michigan or whatever. Don't get me wrong. The playoff is fine. The playoff is fun. I think there are ways to do it. But the other flaw in the system is what Jay was just talking about. Jay Foreman, not Colgan Jay. Sorry for confusion there. But the fact that Oregon has an extra bye week is extremely helpful to get healthy, to get rested up, to get game planning. But because the home environments were so good, that's again why I think either we need two rounds of home playoff games or we need no rounds of home playoff games, and I don't want to take the home games away. So I would rather have one round of home playoff games, but teams 1, 2, 3, 4 deserve those, not just teams 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, I think it's going to be a tough sell to the bowl system.
Have the 5, 6, 7, 8 actually play this weekend bowl sites, and then the home teams get. I like that idea. Games.
That's the way, because I would fix it.
You know, one thing I want to pose to the ticket listeners, if you are a top four seed, do you feel like you get the look, you're going into you're playing with house money now.
Yeah.
But ultimately, say if it's Nebraska, I'd rather have my chances here in a couple days or whenever it is, cold, 100,000 people in there versus having to go down to, like, you know, the Fiesta Bowl. Yes, it's better weather, but we don't get that advantage.
Right.
I wonder what people would think. Like, what would they rather do? Would you rather have that second week home game for the top four? And that would be a true advantage. Just imagine if you went and played like in like the Orange Bowl, in that first week. Say Miami got the first week, like number five. They play in the Orange Bowl. They're at home. Yeah. And then guess what? You win. Congratulations. You go to Lincoln, Penn State, Ohio State, or Oregon on the road.
And guess what? I think both teams would deserve that. Orange Bowl's a de facto home game for Miami. If they're the five seed, guess what? They're the best of the quote-unquote rest. So they earned their home game. Give it to them. But then they weren't one of the first four, so they have to go to a true road game next. Instead of the advantage being they go from a home game to a neutral game.
Yeah, because they could actually come in a little bit better rhythm that way. And so we got a good question here. What did it say? Insightful Dude, he said, would you as a player rather have a bye or home playoff game? I would probably rather have, I mean, all things equal. I'm a big believer at this point in time, everybody's tired and there's enough space in between games. I'd rather probably play, especially if it's a home game. But if you get a bye week, that means you're you would like to think.
You see Notre Dame lose a key defensive player. Texas is down a couple guys now, too.
I'd actually probably say I'd rather have a bye game, bye week.
But it doesn't have to be either or. The way the system is set up, it's either or. Yeah. But we can easily tweak the system where you get both or you get none.
Yeah.
And that's the most fair.
And that would actually amp up regular season because we are playing to win. Mm-hmm. And then you get point differential and the eye test and all that stuff. It might be adjustment that they might do, but we're going to adjust. We're going to take a quick break. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.